and Fleet Diversity. The document is document number 2, and Ann has a presentation to give us on that.
In case anyone didn't get the meeting summary, because it only arrived yesterday, there's extra copies in the audience. So on June 9th, we had a workshop on the topic of accumulation limits and fleet diversity in Danvers. And invited participants were members of the Groundfish Committee, the Groundfish Advisory Panel, the PDT for Groundfish, socioeconomic experts from the SSC, and we had about 30 members of the public also. And they were working in small discussion groups, which answered 5 questions. The questions were, which goals are more important related to diversity and accumulation limits? What's an excessive share? Should diversity goals and accumulation limits be responsive to changing industry conditions? What range of measures should the council consider for managing quota? And how do these measures relate to diversity recommendations from the morning session? We had just a little bit about the structure. We had the 4 groups of the invited participants, and we had outside facilitators come in and lead each group. And then there was such a large number of members of the public there that we formed an extra group with members of the public. And Kate Burns from GMI graciously volunteered to facilitate them. So we got recommendations from 5 different groups. The goal of the discussion groups was not necessarily consensus, but a generation of ideas. There were several groups that weren't going to come to consensus on anything, so we just decided that to get ideas and to start the discussion was really the most important thing. Some groups did reach consensus on some issues. Others didn't reach any consensus. So included in the summary of the meeting are themes that generated a lot of discussion and views that were shared by a broad number of participants, but in general not all participants. So take them with with a grain of salt for what they are. There were 2 discussion sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and the one in the morning was focused on goals and objectives for the groundfish fleet related to diversity. So some of the themes that came out of that were that goals could be linked to maintaining certain characteristics of the current fleet, and some of those types of characteristics that were mentioned from some of the groups include vessel size, gear type, geographic area, level of participation in various fisheries, and inshore versus offshore components of the fleet. The next theme was that goals should be community-driven. I think all the groups touched on this to some extent. Decentralization was largely seen as desirable to achieve community objectives, although the groups didn't seem to come to any consensus or any clear definition of what would constitute a community. Some groups felt that communities should be defined by things like community fishing associations and that the council should have a role in setting those up and having those articulate the goal-setting process. Some groups felt that sectors could be considered fishing communities and that largely the goal-setting can be done through the sectors. And I think there were some ideas about geographic communities as well, regional communities. More themes from topic 1 in the morning. Obtaining optimum yield should be a major priority. For 2 out of the 5 groups, they said this is the most important goal related to diversity because participation in the fishery will increase with increased opportunity to catch fish, and so that would be necessary to achieving a diverse fleet. Each group talked about what would define an excessive share because under National Standard 4, the council's any allocative process is supposed to guard against excessive shares. There's a little consensus on what that meant. Groups recognized that an excessive share would have negative effects on the fishery, but what exactly that point was, where those negative effects were occurring, wasn't clear. Several of the groups requested analytical work to determine access to leasing markets and fishing opportunity. Thought that excessive share should have a more analytical direct definition about when it was actually causing negative effects on leasing or market. Another theme was that goals and limits should be reassessed after a few years in the same way as FMPs. Some groups, this was probably split about 50-50. Some people said that they should be reassessed and re-examined, and some groups and some people said that they should be set once and that people should be allowed to make their plans around what the goals are and the types of measures the council is going to consider. A couple more from the morning session. Several groups said that more information is needed about the effects of Amendment 16. There are statements that it takes time to get used to a catch-share system, and so the goals shouldn't necessarily be considered before we know how the implementation of Amendment 16 is playing out. A more affordable fishery should be a goal for the plan in order for people to upgrade their vessels and to preserve opportunities for access. That theme came up a lot, and in the afternoon was tied to a lot of the measures that people suggested. And finally, for goals, the effects on shoreside infrastructure should be considered in goal setting, not just on the fishery participants themselves. In the afternoon, we talked about accumulation limits and diversity measures and how they relate to the goals from the morning session. And there were more themes that came out of this session, so I'll talk about them more briefly. And a lot of these are just ideas, like I said, ideas that were generated, not consensus statements that the council should necessarily consider these things. One topic that every group talked about, I think, is that quota set-asides could be considered as a tool for meeting several goals. That accumulation limits should be different for different stocks and fisheries. That was pretty close to a consensus statement. I think a lot of people felt that way. The council could consider a cap based on the number of permits held. A couple groups thought that this was the main goal in the first sort of line of fire that the council should consider before they looked at capping ownership or vessel use. Enhancing regulatory flexibility may be a way to promote diversity. Some groups felt that removal of measures instead of adding additional measures to the FMP was the best way to make a more diverse fleet. One more topic, or themes. A mechanism for grandfathering individuals could be desirable if accumulation limits are adopted. There's some people that felt really strongly about this. That measures could be developed by communities or sectors to meet their own goals, measures related to diversity and accumulation limits. That ownership caps could be considered if there's a problem with fleet diversity. And if there isn't a problem with fleet diversity, then there shouldn't be any caps. And there's a lot of disagreement about whether there is, in fact, a problem with fleet diversity right now. And the council should review if quota is being held and not fished. A lot of people that felt that that was probably undesirable, and there should be some sort of mechanism against that, against quota being held in perpetuity. Permit banks may play a role in allocating quota to protect diversity, but the council should review them for effectiveness. We just talked about that a bit. The percent of the overall ACE is controlled by any one sector is irrelevant. Some groups are saying the council should not focus on that because if a sector controls a large amount of ACE, they can just split in name only into two sectors, and there's really no effective difference there. Leasing measures should be carefully considered, as there are many issues associated with restrictions on leasing. People said that ITQs could be examined for the fishery because in talking about quota caps, they'd be more simple and more easy to conceptualize. And finally, the measures should be considered which make the fishery more affordable to participants, and that should be kept in mind when thinking about any of these measures. Finally, the groups came up with some research requests, a long list of research requests, so I won't go through all of them, but there was, I think, a general feeling that more information could be gathered about, the permit bank programs, how vessels are distributed, although we compiled that information already, but details of ownership, how well we're achieving OI, measures of economic efficiency, and analysis of control of the leasing market, that kind of thing. So there are a lot of those kind of recommendations.
Anyone on the council have questions for Ann concerning that? Doug?
I have a question for Ann or any person that attended this workshop, and I just was trying to get it sounded like when they under topic two here that there was a lot of people that felt that accumulation limits should be different for different stocks of fisheries, and I was wondering if someone could elaborate the reasons for that just so that I can be informed. Is it because there are fewer boats fishing on some stocks than there are other stocks, or can anybody provide that? Thank you.
Yeah, Doug, the reason I think, at least in our group, that we set on a stock-by-stock basis was that some stocks are basically hotly contested, that everybody wants them, and then there's other stocks, let's use Redfish as an example, that there's relatively little activity, that people have far more quota than they have ability to harvest the fish, so accumulation limits may not be necessary on that stock at this time.
Just another example would be red crab. There's one where, it's, the ownership is very concentrated, but it doesn't seem to be a problem because it's basically market driven. Any questions of Pat?
Yeah, and see, you seem to, I think you said, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that people didn't seem to feel that there was an issue with diversity at this point. And I'm trying to reconcile that with what we repeatedly hear about their smaller vessels being disproportionately impacted and that there's more a higher rate of that the smaller vessels are leaving the fishery at a higher rate than the larger vessels, which obviously would impact on diversity. Was there discussion of that, or was that just a disconnect that was sort of acknowledged?
I may have misspoken. It's not that people said there was no issue with diversity. I think probably about half the people said there were no issues with diversity. I don't know. I wasn't in all the groups all the time, but there were certainly people that felt that there was an issue with fleet diversity, and so there wasn't any consensus about whether there was an issue.
Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, to that point, Pat's point, we all were assembled at different tables, so there really wasn't any interaction between tables. We didn't hear what was happening at the other tables, and Nan's done a fine job summarizing the perspective expressed at those different tables. Regarding diversity and the question just asked by Pat, I know at our table, some individuals, including myself, expressed concern that we really weren't in a position yet to characterize, describe what's happening to diversity in the fleet right now, specific to what happened during the first year of operation under large-scale sector management, that we're awaiting the sector reports, we're awaiting the analyses done by the social sciences branch, through Kitts and others. We heard their presentation this morning. So we're all struggling to answer that question ourselves, and that information to be provided hopefully by the fall and certainly in 2012 should help us get a better understanding as to whether or not we need to be concerned that diversity is changing in a major way so that the fleet is less diverse and quota is being consolidated into the hands of larger operations at the expense of smaller operations and smaller communities.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was not able to attend the workshop. I had a conflict with my committee assignment. But it appears that there is no resolution of the major questions, that there is a lot of disagreement among the people who were there and within the report. And it appears that the issue is not red hot, immediate, got to solve this because everything's going to collapse if we don't. So I would suggest that we remand this to the Groundfish Committee. I don't think we want to drop it, and I don't think we're in a position for the council as a whole to move forward with anything. So I'd make a motion that we remand the accumulation limits to the Groundfish Committee for discussion and possible further development.
Is there a second to that? Terry Stockwell. Discussion? Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did attend the meeting workshop, and thank you, Ann, for doing a bucket load of work to compile a bunch of different comments. I read your draft report pretty carefully, and I came up with actually only a handful of issues where there was some general agreement. And three of them I'm going to read to you all, which supports my second for David's motion. Most of the groups agree that further analysis should be conducted to determine how to define the concept. There was some consensus that more information would be needed on the effects of sector implementation in order to proceed. And most groups discussed whether there was a problem with fleet diversity, and there was a wide disagreement. The one group I participated in, we had no consensus on most of the issues that we discussed. The morning was not unproductive, but the afternoon I considered was. All we were asked to do was to identify a list of issues to respond to if there was a problem. And so a pile of stuff came up that's that some of which is reflected into this report, that to Ann's credit, she didn't, you know, they didn't come forward as consensus opinions. But I think the Groundfish Committee is the appropriate place to bend through the report, determine what further analysis it needs to be conducted, and actually readdress a motion that was made back in Mystic about a permit camp.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I don't feel the motion is appropriate because this council at our last meeting already set the wheels in motion to deal with accumulation limits in a slightly different way, and I don't think that way has ended. I referenced the motion made under accumulation caps under groundfish at our last meeting, where on a vote of 14-0, we all agreed to establish an ad hoc groundfish accumulation limit committee made up of members of the Groundfish Committee, the Groundfish Plan Development Team, the advisory panel, and select members of the SSC to conduct that facilitated meeting on accumulation limits, and then to do something that hasn't been done yet because it couldn't be done in that limited amount of time, submit a suite of options to the council for consideration. So I suggest that that ad hoc committee still has life, and that it should still be used as a way to follow up on the workshop and then to offer something up that would be in response to what we, this council, requested be done. That is, a suite of options for the council to consider. There's nothing before us now. And so unless we conclude the ad hoc committee has done its business and now we have to go in a different direction, perhaps as suggested by the maker of the motion, I would prefer to, my preference is to go with the ad hoc committee still and draw in that excellent advice that we acquired from those other individuals who are so key in this process. That's the plan development team, the advisors, the Groundfish Committee itself, of course, and the SSC. That's my preference. Continue continue the course.
Pat Kirkle.
I agree with David. I am opposed to the motion, especially as written. It seems to me that saying that we would refer to the Groundfish Committee for possible further development is just passing the hot potato once more. And frankly, whether the potato is hot or not, it depends on where you sit in this process. And so I think that we need to move forward with what we agreed at the last council meeting. We had the workshop. I would be shocked if anybody expected there would be broad consensus on most of the points. That's really not the intention of having these kinds of discussions. So it's food for thought for the next steps in the council process, which we have agreed to.
We've got Doug Grout, then Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It doesn't surprise me that there wasn't a lot of consensus on a lot of issues here. You know, this is a very contentious issue where it would benefit some to have accumulation limits and not benefit others. I agree that we need to, I strongly feel that we need to develop some kind of management action that puts in some kind of accumulation limits, because as I see in my particular state, I see income declining by a large amount and the potential 3 years, 2 years from now, that the cost will go up for these fisheries substantially, and we may have a potential total collapse in our fishery unless we have some kind of change here. And one of the ways that could prevent, might prevent that collapse in our industry may be having some kind of accumulation limits. And I know this is going to be difficult. I strongly feel that this council needs to take this bull by the horns and try and wrestle with it. Other councils have put in accumulation limits on different management plans. I don't see why we shouldn't at least try to move down that road too and look at what would be appropriate for this particular management. Thank you.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, the ad hoc committee is by its nature ad hoc. It's a very large committee, very unwieldy, and I cannot imagine that it would be the most efficient way to continue with this process. What came out of it was a valuable report, but the issue is now very inchoate, and it's not ripe for council discussion, and the ad hoc committee is exactly the wrong way to go at this point. It's just too big, too unwieldy. It would be entirely an entirely inefficient way to proceed.
David Gith.
I'm opposed to the motion because I think sending it to the Groundfish Committee is basically sending it to death by committee. If the Groundfish Committee could have dealt with these issues in the first place, we wouldn't be here having an ad hoc committee. The very reason we had to set this up is because we couldn't get minority views on the table. And I think the ad hoc committee did a good job of listing ideas. And I think that's necessary. I agree it may be a little unwieldy to have a lot of people in the room, but this is a very important topic that needs a lot of people's thoughts. And I think it's more expeditious to have all those people in the room at the same time than it is to have the Groundfish Committee make a request of the PDT and then, wait for them to get back to them. And, you know, as several other speakers have said, while we fiddle here, Rome is burning in some places. And, if you want to wait to just sweep up the ashes, keep going the way you're going, because you're, that's exactly where you're headed. At least in New Hampshire, you are going to be sweeping up the ashes. And I'm not prepared to do that. I want to put out the fire. And, if I thought the Groundfish Committee could accomplish that, I'd vote for this. But I don't think they can, quite frankly. The other question I had, Ian, is it appears... I don't have the draft committee summary with me, but it appears that this is different than the draft committee summary. I'm trying to figure out what was removed.
Oh, you mean between the draft and the one that went out? So I think that there are a couple, slight language things, and what was removed was the last paragraph that was in the draft that mentioned that some of the groups had talked about the issue, or not gotten into, but had made note of the issue that the original allocation may need to be revisited to deal with some of these issues. But because that was specifically stated in the meeting notice to not be on the table for discussion, I had people suggest to take it out of the meeting summary because it wasn't supposed to be part of the meeting to begin with.
And that was one of that was the main thing I was looking for to get on the record here. I mean, I think that's an important thing that has been removed. And I think that's another reason why the Groundfish Committee can't deal with this. There was at least one group that, had a discussion about the fact that if we can't deal with all these other issues that are listed in here, we may have to go back and revisit the allocation situation. And I think that's important to continue to keep on the table. I'm opposed to the motion. I think there are forces at work here that I'm uncomfortable with.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My feeling on this is that we're going to have, whether it's the ad hoc committee or the groundfish committee, it is going to be a difficult slog coming up with something for this. I mean, we've been discussing something about this for quite some time, and it's just, it isn't an easy topic to resolve. And so I don't know which way I'll go on the motion. It certainly seems like we could have a more focused discussion at the committee than on the entire ad hoc committee. So I'm sort of leaning in that direction, but it's not going to be easy either way. And I'm not sure exactly how the ad hoc committee would actually operate, but if we go in that direction, we'll have to figure it out.
Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the motion. I think the ad hoc committee has met. They've provided a broad range of ideas and thoughts to be considered, and I'm not sure how you would utilize that group again to become more focused into a direction we need to go. And I think that the groundfish committee should take those steps. As Ian clearly articulated, that, you know, consensus was not reached on a majority of these issues. So you can bring that group back together, but you're going to have that same outcome. And so I think the council needs to consider all of those comments and try to figure out where we're going. And to me, I think the most appropriate place for that is the committee.
Terry.
The ad hoc committee required one coordinator and five facilitators. It was a major cat herding exercise, and the issues that need to be discussed aren't going to be resolved in a group that large. I think the groundfish committee can, as others have commented, can take the ad hoc committee's comments, pare through them, start off with the with the issues that there was some agreement on, and then build from there.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I kind of concur with what Terry just said, but I'm looking at this statement as very wishy-washy. I'd like to see it say the Groundfish Committee for further development, because for discussion and possible further development, to me, doesn't mean anything. What comes out of this, some people are going to agree with, some people are going to disagree, and that's going to be for the full council to decide on what it should be. But if it's going back to the committee, it should be for development. Whether you agree with it or not, you have to give it a very specific charge. And I don't know if the maker or seconder would agree to that. But
David.
Yeah, I would take that as a friendly.
Is there objection to that? It's been debated, so I'll not seek. Is there objection to clarifying that motion? Dr. Pierce?
I don't understand the intent. It sounds like the Groundfish Committee will further develop the summary of the accumulation limits discussions that we had. So it's a kind of a nebulous, meaningless motion.
Well, I think whether it's the Groundfish Committee or the ad hoc committee, which the only meeting they had was to participate in that workshop, the summary of the workshop needs to go to somebody to develop alternatives or options to address accumulation limits, right? So you're objecting to sending it back to the Groundfish Committee, or objecting to sending the summary of the workshop to the Groundfish Committee?
I think the language you just offered up clarifies what the intent would be, what the charge would be to the committee, as opposed to the words that are on the screen. That's all. You were more definite with what actually would be done.
Okay, so let's say to remand the accumulation workshop summary, accumulation limits workshop summary to the ground fish committee for the development of alternatives. Paul?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think if you recall, back in November, you voted to do an amendment. So, you know, it seems to me that we're getting all this confusion now is because half the people want to proceed and half don't. But you already voted to start an amendment. So the next process is to start scoping. You want to do an amendment to set accumulation limits or to consider accumulation limits. You develop a scoping document, go out to the public, then you come back and you set your goals and objectives and that are measurable, and we have a process for doing this. We're not proceeding with the process because we don't have enough people on the council that want to do what was voted on in November. So I think you need to be clear. Do you want to start the amendment or not, and then let the process begin with scoping?
Doug?
If we already in November voted to start an amendment, and we're would this just be asking to take some of the ideas that have come out of this and include them in the scoping document? Would that be the, because we have made that decision already, and the question is, why aren't we moving forward? Is that because the council as a whole wants us to go down that road, and the people that are members of the groundfish committee may not have that full support? Is that the reason we're not moving forward? I mean, it sounds like the council of a whole made the decision in November that we're going to do this. And I think we need to, the groundfish committee needs to continue to move forward and develop a scoping document using some of the information from this workshop and let the process move forward unless somebody wants to make a motion to take it off this, to take it off the table. But right now, as I see it, that's the direction of the council, and the groundfish committee should move forward with that.
I think Captain Howard and Doug are right. We did vote back in November to initiate an amendment for the purpose of accumulation limits. We've had a workshop. We have some results from that workshop. Captain Howard's right. The normal process for us would be to go to scoping, and we'd need the groundfish committee to work with staff to create a scoping document, and the council would review it and decide to send it out to the public. So that's where we're at. I was just having a sidebar with Rip asking, you know, where are we in terms of work priorities and workload with our groundfish PDT? And we have the spec process that we're about to initiate, or it's actually started. And so staff's going to be full on making sure that we get that specs package ready and can vote on it. And I would imagine that scoping would occur after that. So, and I guess basically we're asked for a gut check. Do we still want to go forward with an accumulations amendment? I can ask the question. You know, all those that want to continue to move forward and go through scoping for the accumulation limits, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 9. Opposed. 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 opposed. So we're going to move forward. Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, I don't think a motion is needed, Mr. Chairman. I think a charge from the chair, from you, would be that, you know, using the information from this workshop, the Groundfish Committee should proceed with the development of the accumulation limit amendment, and that would involve the development of the scoping document. Simple charge. Again, the issue becomes, is it the Groundfish Committee or is it the ad hoc committee that I referenced before? My preference is the ad hoc committee, but again, The motion on the board anyway references the Groundfish Committee, so it's up to you, Mr. Chairman, regarding how the charge should be issued to the ad hoc committee or to the Groundfish Committee. That's my suggestion.
Well, I'd like to think the council can define whether it goes to the ad hoc or the Groundfish Committee. I'm not comfortable making that decision, although I would say that this particular issue would require the horsepower and technical skills of the PDT, and I'd like to see our SSC social scientists involved as well. And the way the process works now, it takes a long time to move from one committee to the PDT to the SSC back to the committee for development. And I think that's where I got to at the last meeting when I suggested putting together a cross-disciplinary committee to tackle this issue. Dr. Pierce.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to substitute. Unless it will complicate matters for you, that's not my intent. But anyways, because you're looking for some guidance and a suggestion from a member, I'll do it. I would move that using information from the accumulation limit workshop, the ad hoc groundfish accumulation limit committee should proceed with the accumulation limit amendment and development of the scoping document for that amendment.
There's a second. Seconded by Doug Grout. Discussion? Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm opposed to this motion. I think that the expanded ad hoc groundfish accumulation committee will be even more dysfunctional than the groundfish committee. We've got staffing concerns. We're clearly divided as to which way we think we should go. We've got priorities coming up. I think we're way ahead of ourselves. We haven't even had the sector review. I've been asking to have for analysis of the efficacy of all the permit banks for some period now, and to move ahead with this at this process, this direction, I think would be doing a disservice for us, particularly if we are looking to move forward into some sort of ecosystem-based management approach. This would be contrary to that. So I think we need to take a deep breath and not get ahead of ourselves.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will take my colleague from the Vacation Lands comments concerning the Groundfish Committee as constructive criticism. That being said, I do agree with what he was saying, and I think that the larger committee will be very hard to control or direct or to get something out of, and I would say that, you know, we should go with our normal process. I think, as Paul pointed out, we're at the point where we should start Amendment 18 and start that whole process through the normal way, which would be the Groundfish Committee.
Jim Alden.
Yeah, my comments were just going to be the same as Rip. I don't know, you know, how would that kind of committee work? Robert's rules, chairman, you know, I think that's unwieldy. So I'd agree with Rip that it needs to be the process that he laid out. Thank you.
Frank, then Mr. Libby.
Yeah, thank you. I see Dave's point on using the ad hoc committee, but I think to develop a scoping document and to go forward, I think that is something that the Roundfish Committee could do. And I think if you want to use the ad hoc committee again, that would be when you come back from scoping to pare down the information that you have and to see whether that way. So I think I would go forward with the smaller group to put it for scoping and then come back and maybe have it looked at before we go for final.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Agreed. I think the ad hoc committee served its purpose up to this point. We've got a whole bunch of information here. It's time to start boiling it down. the history of this thing was we were going to wait until the sector results of the first year sector report came out, and then it was identified that accumulation indeed did start during leasing of days at sea. So there was justification for having the meeting ahead of time. There could be more information that comes out of the first year of performance of sector review report. Maybe that would prompt us to reassemble this committee, but for right now, I think we need to go with the groundfish committee. Thank you.
Anything further? A motion to amend? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Three. Opposed? Twelve. Abstentions? One abstention. Motion to amend fails. 3-12-1. Back on the main motion is perfected. Dr. Pierce?
I would move to substitute using the same language, but instead of the ad hoc groundfish accumulation limit committee, make it the groundfish committee.
Discussion. Dave Gaither.
Just more of a question for one of the chairs. Does, if the committee develops a scoping document, do we have to send, you know, does that have to go to the PDT and the advisors, or can we go right directly to scoping?
Whenever the next meeting is, I would imagine staff would prepare a draft like we normally do. We prepare the scoping document draft, and it'll come to the committee for approval and then the council. So we can have it for, if you want a meeting in a month, we can have a draft scoping document ready.
Okay, so but the council has to approve it, so that would be September, right? I'm trying to think of the most expeditious way to move forward here, because as I said before, you know, New Hampshire's burning. We haven't got time to sit around here.
Annie?
I just want to point out for what it's worth that we actually did develop a scoping document for this action, and it went out to the council, I believe, at the meeting in Brewster last year. The committee saw it and decided not to take action on it, but there is one floating out there.
Anything further? I'm ready for the question. All those in favor, raise your hand. Count 12. Opposed? Four opposed. Abstentions? None. Motion as amended carries 12-4. There was a motion to substitute, so we got to vote on it again. Same question. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand.
Twelve.
Opposed? Four abstentions? None. Motion carries 12-4. Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is all we have on item number one. Item number two is, we're on to item three is the gear policy. Is the gear policy? 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 Is the gear policy?